Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, I went into the aisle and asked a few questions, and today is part two. So this is a sermon series. And I began last week by saying, who is Jesus? And we explored all that the good news is through Jesus. What is essential? What do we leave behind? So I asked the question again, who is Jesus? And today we hear in the gospel, people are trying to figure it out. Where did this power come from? And so some guess it's John the Baptist raised from the dead. Others say Elijah. And some say, a prophet like the ones of old. In fact, last week in the gospel, Jesus literally said, a prophet is not accepted in his hometown. Well, John the Baptist was a prophet. And we see what happened to John. He was a professional prophet, and they were waiting for a prophet like John for hundreds of years. So John appears. But what is a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks God's truth. So John spoke truth to power. John spoke truth to power with King Herod, and it got him arrested. So this whole idea of being a prophet has been a part of the history of our religion going back through the Old Testament into the New Testament for thousands of years. How many prophets are named in Scripture? A number. Any number. Hello? 120. Keep going. 133 are named in Scripture. 133 prophets are named. There's about 173 not named. So prophets have been a part of God's instruments in the beginning to help us grow as a people of God. Now, if you were to open the Bible, which is in your pew, but you don't have to, and went to the beginning to list the table of contents, you would see there's two headings for prophets, major and minor. Who are the major prophets? Good, Mary, you're looking. Who are some major? Isaiah, Jeremiah. They're the ones that are very long, like Isaiah. Who are some other major prophets? We've heard Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Daniel. Okay, friends, who are the minor prophets? Everyone should give me the name of the first reading as an answer. Amos. The first reading today was from the prophet Amos. So, this is not easy, so I'll give it to you. Hosea, Joel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. These are good names for your pets. Haggai, come here, Haggai, come on. Zechariah, Malak, these are some of the minor prophets. So the first reading today was from Amos. What was Amos? What did he do for a living? He was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamores. He was happy. He loved what he was doing. And there were all kinds of professional prophets in the city. But they weren't doing their job. The background to today is that we're hearing this language about this beautiful temple. And these professional prophets weren't doing their job because there was a disconnect between this lavish worship and gorgeous vestments and wonderful drapery and things. And outside were the poor. So God says, all right, the professionals aren't doing it. Amos, what about you? And Amos didn't want to, but he went ahead. Who are other prophets that first said no? Jonah. In fact, Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and went the other way by what means? A boat. Who else didn't like the idea of being a prophet? Moses. Yes. And Moses said to God, I'm not your man. I don't speak well. God said, that's fine. I'll give you a helper. Come here, Aaron. And Aaron and Moses go, and Aaron does the talking, but Moses is the prophet that God uses. And here we are, in our day and age. Are there still prophets? Can you name prophets in this 20th and 21st century who spoke God's truth? Truth to power. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, who else? Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Bishop Tutu. So we have prophets today. Now, the ingredients of a prophet. So someone like Amos reveals the first ingredient. Sometimes there's rerouting. We have to get up, unexpectedly go to a place we hadn't counted on, and do things we hadn't planned on doing. So sometimes there's the rerouting. Another ingredient is, more often than not, there's reluctance. I don't think so. In fulfilling a call as a prophet, there might be creativity involved. Okay, how am I going to do this? And one of the important ingredients of prophecy, and what is the difference between the major and the minor prophets, is the major prophets had a global message. It was a far-reaching. It's always to community. It's not personal. It's for others. The minor prophets were more focused in their neighborhood, in their situation. And the last ingredient is the willingness to pay the price. And so we see a problem. If we are faithful, we're not necessarily going to have a cushy reward. And so we see today that John the Baptist, who had a lot of followers, he was an amazing preacher. He captivated people. They followed him to the water. They followed him over here. And he was finally put in prison and beheaded. And one of the things that happens to prophets is they pay a price. I didn't say this at the first service because I didn't want to discourage people, but most of the prophets in the scripture were not successful. They were faithful. All that God asks of us is to be faithful. God never said to us, I need you to be successful. God is saying, I need you to be faithful. I will inspire you. Will you be my voice and speak the truth? There are prophets in our midst. So several weeks ago, I preached after the Charleston shooting, and 9 people died. And they were shot to death in their church. And on that Sunday, I stood here and talked about the witness of the loved ones who lost those people in that church, and how on TV we heard of their forgiveness, how they forgave the shooter. And we witnessed that kind of profound movement of grace in them. And that gives us hope. But on that particular day, 2 of our parishioners were touched in a very, very, very deep way. And on that particular day, my sermon for them didn't touch where they were. And so they told me, why didn't I speak against racism? Every sermon cannot include important topics that need to be addressed. And on that particular day, I focused on the forgiveness of the loved ones, hope, the mystery of evil. And as these 2 said to me, there is no mystery about racism. It exists. So the 3 of us had a conversation, Jake and Paco and I. And I knew God was moving in their hearts, and I needed to listen. So the 3 of us got together, and I did not take their criticism personally. I knew something else was going on. See, that's what God's up to. God's economy is up to more than meets the eye sometimes. So in our conversation, what happened next was me sensing that these 2 are being called by God to be shepherds for a new ministry at St. Francis, and it's called Social Justice. So they will start in September as the new shepherds for social justice. So they sent me an outline a week ago, and it was incredible. These are things we're thinking of starting. One of them is St. Francis of Assisi loves nature. But look what's happening in the world. We have water shortages. People talk about global warming. We need to have an ecological justice. So they want to start a small group and call that group Brother Sun, Sister Moon. Isn't that awesome? Way to go, guys. I'm not finished. And then we're going to have another small group that will deal with issues such as racism. And then the 3rd group underneath the umbrella of social justice will be our LGBT ministry. So we have prophets all over the place in our midst. What is it? It is speaking God's truth. So how do you become that voice? I ended last week's sermon by saying, pay attention to your distractions. What is essential? What do you leave behind so you can hear? God has not stopped speaking. God's voice continues to echo. God's voice is present thousands of years and will continue on. And guess who God uses to be that voice in the world? It is us. May you not be afraid to let God's truth be spoken through you. And know it needs to extend outside this church. May all of us pray to be available and faithful and speak as loud as we can God's message. Amen.